Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to our midweek Bible study 2021 edition. I'm Pastor Tim with Word of Hope Christian Church in New Braunfels, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us today. Thanks for making time. Today is Wednesday, February 24th. We're continuing in our Bible study called Developing My Spiritual Life. Now, if you've missed any of the previous studies, you can catch up on all of those right here on this media platform, or you can go to our website at www.whccnb.org. Click on the Sermon tab, and you can download both the audio and video versions. Today, we're going to be talking about meditating on and memorizing God's Word. The main scripture passage we're going to be using today is Psalm 119, verses 97 to 102. I'll tell you more in a minute, but right now, let's open with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being able to study your Word today. Teach us how we can meditate and memorize it, that we can put it in our hearts, Lord, that as David said, that we might not sin against you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Have a question for you. A severed cable has cut power to your office, and your boss has given you the rest of the day off. It's bitterly cold outside, so you decide to grab some coffee at a nearby bookstore and browse the store for a couple of hours. In what two sections of the bookstore are you likely to spend most of your time? There's a section on fiction. There's a section on humor, history, biography. There's a magazine section. There's a religious and inspirational section, a classic literature section, a poetry section, personal finance, sports, psychology and self-help, arts and crafts, children's books, marriage and parenting, the clearance or bargain section, career and management, along with leadership. And those are just some of the sections that I remember. Maybe you have some more. What two sections did you spend your time in that scenario? Well, it's been a while since I've been to the bookstore, that's for sure. But the last time I did, I spent most of my time in the religious and inspirational section. Go figure, right? Because I'm a pastor? No, simply because I want to see what other people are writing about, and there's always a great read waiting on the shelf. But I also spent some time in the self-help section as I was looking for a Idiot's Guide, if you will. They have several in different categories, and I was looking particularly for one as it dealt with IT issues. Now, we've got several different interests, all of us do, and I'm sure that your choices of which two sections of the bookstore would have been different than mine, no doubt. But it's important as a follower of Christ that our range of interests include a passion for God's Word and for good books on spiritual growth. Now, the psalmist, just like a thirsty man, was drawn to God's Word, and it refreshed him like refreshing water. And he meditated on it. He memorized it, and he drank deeply from it. So with that in mind, let's read our scripture today in Psalm 119, verses 97 to 102. It says this, "Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I am always thinking of your laws. I am even more wiser than my elders, for I have kept your commandments. I have refused to walk any evil path so that I may remain obedient to your word. I haven't turned away from your regulations, for you have taught me well." We are 7 weeks into our study about developing your spiritual life, and by now you've seen that much of it involves the Word of God. It involves the Bible. Beginning with the second study that was called Listening to God, we saw the importance of spending daily time with God. And last week, we talked about how to study God's Word. Today, we're talking about meditating on and memorizing God's Word. And next week, we're going to be talking about applying God's Word to our lives. Of all the studies tied to direct involvement with God's Word, the most likely to be less enthusiastic or to receive the least enthusiastic response is about meditating on and memorizing Scripture. So let me ask you this. Why does the suggestion of memorizing Scripture or meditating on Scripture get such a lukewarm and sometimes just a cold reception from many Christians? Well, first of all, there are several misconceptions about Christian or biblical meditation. And secondly, many Christians have a resistance to, or at least have a lack of interest in memorizing Scripture. Well, in today's study, we're going to address the misconceptions that surround meditation and the reluctance toward memorizing scripture. We're going to look at the values of both meditation and memorization. And we're going to finish by offering some specific steps to make both disciplines possible, both meditation and memorization, and that they can be enjoyable and they can be fruitful. So let's take a minute here and answer this question. In addition to the Bible, name one book, fiction or nonfiction, that you would most want with you if you were stranded on a remote island. And why would you choose that book? In addition to the Bible, once again, you're stranded on an island. What other book, fiction or nonfiction, would you want with you and why? Well, strange as it may seem, I would want my joke, riddle, and funny story book. That's the title of it. It was given to me by my mom and dad when I was about 8 years old. And that's a long time ago, but it's a reminder of the good and clean and fun humor that was then and still can be today. And it brings a wonderful balance to the reality of life, which if you're stranded on an island, might be a little bit concerning. Here's another question. The writer of the verses that we're studying today in Psalm 119 seems really passionate about this subject of God's word. How does that strike you? Is it something along the lines of the psalmist must have nothing else to read? He's probably got no other reading material, so that's all he's doing, and that's why he's enthusiastic. Or maybe it strikes you, gosh, I wish I got that much out of the Bible when I read it. Or maybe if he's got time to meditate, then he's got more time than I've got. Or maybe it's something like, well, you know, I've recently discovered the power of God's word. That's a great thing. Or perhaps he sounds like he's applying what he knows. I, on the other hand, know a lot more than I'm actually applying. So how would that strike you with all of the writer's enthusiasm and so forth? Well, this question for me really gets to the heart of things. No doubt the writer of our text is very passionate and is intentional in his study of God's word. Sometimes I've used the excuse that I don't have enough time to study and memorize, or I'm just too lazy to apply what I know from the Bible on a consistent basis. But you know, we're given the same 24 hours in the day that the psalmist had, and the choices I make on how to allocate that time are clearly different than what that writer's choices have been. The question is, what's important to us? What's important to me? I need to be more consistently intentional with my decisions. That's clear as I read this passage today. I need to be more intentional just as that psalmist was. How about you? In our time remaining today, I want to talk about challenging the misconceptions of meditation and overcoming the resistance to memorizing scripture. Let's look at that first one, challenging the misconceptions about meditation. So exactly what is meditation? It is the key to success, as God told Joshua in the Old Testament. But all meditation is not the same. Here's a question. Many people seek the meditative philosophy of Eastern religions. How do the purposes of Eastern meditation and Christian meditation differ? Here it is in a nutshell. In Eastern meditation, the goal is to empty one's mind with the intention to connect to essential nature. Christian meditation has the goal of filling one's mind with scripture and the intention on connecting with God. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into the new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn how to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect." Another question. What are other misconceptions about Christian meditation? Well, another misconception about Christian meditation is that it's too complex. It's too mystical to be practiced by average Christians. In his book, Psalm 119, Thomas Merton wrote, "Meditation is really very simple, and there is not much need of elaborate techniques to teach us how to go about it." You know, another misconception denounces meditation as impractical or indulgent, while there's more productive work to be done in the real world. Author Richard Foster disagrees. From his book, Celebration of Discipline, he writes, "Often meditation will yield insights that are deeply practical, almost mundane. Instruction will come on how to relate to your wife or husband, or how to deal with his sensitive problem or that business situation. It is wonderful when a practical meditation leads to ecstasy, but it is far more common to be given guidance in dealing with ordinary human problems. Meditation is as old and as sanctified as the Bible itself. Unless you're prepared to question the authenticity of the faith of the psalmist who penned Psalm 119, the writer of Psalm 119 speaks of meditation 7 times, praising the truths in the Bible. Whereas the study of Scripture, we noted in a previous study, it centers on careful analysis, and the meditation of Scripture, it centers on internalizing and personalizing the passage. Do you see the difference? Meditating on Scripture is a very personal and very private exercise, not to be diluted with study techniques and tools and so forth. Not that those aren't appropriate in certain ways. I want you to note that in his book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, author Donald Whitney defines meditation as deep thinking on the truths and spiritual realities revealed in Scripture for the purpose of understanding, application, and prayer. And a little further in that book, Whitney offers a really wonderful analogy of a cup of tea to describe the great benefit of Christian meditation. He says, "You are the cup of water, and the intake of Scripture is represented by the tea bag. Hearing God's word is like one dip of the tea bag into the cup. Some of the tea's flavor is absorbed by the water, but not as much as would occur with a more thorough soaking of the bag. Meditation is like immersing the bag completely and letting it steep until all the rich tea flavor has been extracted and the hot water is thoroughly tinctured reddish brown." I really can relate to that because I love tea. And the more you let that tea bag steep, the darker and richer that water gets. Question. Verses 98 to 101 of the text read, "Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers, for I am always thinking of your laws. I am even wiser than my elders, for I have kept your commandments. I have refused to walk on any evil path, so that I may remain obedient to your word." Now, considering those verses, what are 4 practical benefits that are revealed in this passage? And here's a hint. There's at least one in every verse. Let's get to the answer. The practical benefits are, look at verse 98. It gives you an advantageous wisdom. Then in verse 99, it gives you great insight. In verse 100, it gives you superior understanding. And in verse 101, it helps you avoid evil. Now let's turn our attention to another method of engaging God's word, and that's memorization. And we're going to talk about overcoming the resistance to memorizing Scripture. Here's a question. Resistance to memorizing Scripture can be found in 2 false beliefs. What are they? The first false belief is that Scripture memorization is too hard. Anybody ever have that as an excuse or a thought? I sure have. And the second is that Scripture memorization lacks any practical value. Okay, so I memorize it. What good is that going to do me in the course of my daily routine? First, memorizing Scripture is not hard. I have found that to be true. You don't have to have superior intelligence or large blocks of precious time to do it. And we'll see shortly that there are several easy and effective and creative ways to etch God's word into our mind. The second false belief that Scripture memory lacks practical value, it couldn't be further from the truth, folks. Here are just a few of the benefits of having God's word filed in your brain and not just stacked on your shelf. First, memorizing Scripture helps me resist what? Here's a hint. Psalm 119, verse 11. Now, that's not in our Scripture today, but it is in the same Psalm 119. Go back to verse 11. Memorizing Scripture helps me resist what? Memorizing Scripture helps me to resist temptation. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Another way is memorizing Scripture helps me make blank blanks. And the hint is Psalm 119, verse 105. So go take a look at verse 105. Memorizing Scripture helps me make wise decisions. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." Sounds like the beautiful Amy Grant song, "Thy Word," doesn't it? Thirdly, memorizing scripture blanks me when I face adversity. The hint is Psalm 119, verse 50. The answer is, memorizing scripture encourages and strengthens me when I face adversity. Psalm 119, verse 50 says, "Your promise revives me. It comforts me in all my troubles." And fourth, memorizing scripture encourages others and blanks to unbelievers. Here's the hint. Not Psalm 119, but 1 Peter 3:15 in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Memorizing scripture encourages others and witnesses to unbelievers. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it." To wrap up this portion of our study, let me share with you Proverbs chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, which say, "Listen to the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my instruction. For it is good to keep these sayings in your heart and always ready on your lips." So as I prepare to close out our study for the day, I'd like to share with you 5 methods of scripture meditation and 10 strategies for memorizing scripture. First, let's talk about 5 methods of scripture meditation. First of all, picture it. Visualize the scene in your mind. That would be step number 1. Step number 2, pronounce it. Say the verse aloud. Each time, emphasize a different word. For example, try this with me. Psalm 118, verse 24. It says, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." So pronounce it. Put the accent on a different word each time. In other words, "This is the day the Lord has made." "This is the day the Lord has made." "This is the day the Lord has made." And if you go to the second part, "We will rejoice and be glad in it." "We will rejoice and be glad in it." "We will rejoice and be glad in it." You see what I mean? This technique is a great one, especially when you're driving, when you're in your car, or wherever you might be alone. Just have fun with it. It changes the approach as you pronounce it. The next is paraphrase it. Rewrite the verse in your own words, whatever you think. A great example of a paraphrase is Eugene Peterson's The Message Bible, which is a paraphrase. You can get a great idea, a great sense of things by just checking that out. Simply rewrite the verse in your own words. Next, personalize it. Replace the pronouns or the people in the verse with your name. If you go back to that scripture we just talked about in Psalm 118:24, "This is the day the Lord has made. Instead of 'we will rejoice,' I will rejoice and be glad in it." Change it to yourself. Put in your name if there's a proper name in there. Personalize it. It will really hit home. And finally, pray it. Turn the verse into a prayer. Make it your prayer. God loves it when we pray back the scriptures to him. So again, picture it, pronounce it, paraphrase it, personalize it, and pray it. And lastly, here's 10 strategies for memorizing scripture. Number 1, select a verse that's meaningful for you. It may be one that surfaces out of your daily time alone with God, or maybe one that's just been with you for many years. Select that verse that's meaningful. And then number 2, say the reference before and after the verse. For instance, Psalm 118, verse 24. "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Psalm 118, 24. Then number 3, read the verse aloud many times. It might sound a little boring, but do it. It's really great when you do that many times. And then 4, break the longer verses into sections of thought. Sometimes we've got a really long verse, and it's like, gosh, I can't memorize all of that. Yes, you can. Just break them apart into individual sections of thought. And then number 5, emphasize key words when quoting the verse. Number 6, write the verse on an index card or a small piece of paper, whatever you've got on hand. Just write it on that card. And then number 7, carry the card with you. Put them in your pocket. Tape it on your refrigerator door. Put it in your car. Bring it in your briefcase or your purse. Wherever it is, take it with you to a restaurant when you eat and pull it out and take a read on it. Just carry the card with you for review. Number 8, keep your verses in prominent places. As I said, you could tape them to the refrigerator, could tape them to a mirror. I have several around my house. They're generally at mirror points. You can take them in the car, tape them to your dashboard, whatever it is that you'd feel. Even in your workplace, you might be able to put it up. If you can't, how about your personal workspace at home? You can put them all around your computer. Number 9, put the verse to music. We've all got a song to sing, believe it or not. We do. So sing the verse. It doesn't matter if it matches something that's on the radio or something you've heard before. Create a new song. Sing a new song to the Lord with that particular verse and just sing it. And lastly, make use of a system that's called the Navigator's Topical Memory System. Just Google that. It's an amazing resource, one of many out there, but it's a terrific way to memorize scripture. I would highly encourage you to look at that. Well, folks, that brings us to the end of our study today. It has been a lot, I know, in a very short period of time, meditating on and memorizing God's word. I hope it's been insightful. I hope it's challenged you. I hope it's enabled you with some practical helps to actually move forward. If you've been a little stuck in that, if you're doing it on a regular basis, amen. Share that knowledge with somebody else that might not be, because they need to know how to do that too. Now, I'll be back again next week, and we'll continue in our study of developing our spiritual lives, and we'll be talking about applying God's word to our lives. So we've been studying the Bible. We've talked about meditating and memorizing it. Now we're going to be applying God's word to our lives. I hope you'll join us next time. Until then, God bless you. Have a great day.